Okay.
Hey, that was like, that was showing up super loud.
You
on
always
that.
Say that.
Did you see it?
I saw it, yeah.
Look how much that was going.
I understand.
All right. Hey, everybody.
Well, I don't know what we can do about it.
Maybe we'll turn on the volume on it next time.
I don't think we can.
Hey, everybody. It's time for another episode of Action Features.
You know what that means.
Yep. Means it's time for another episode of Action Features.
There's no hidden meaning. There's
you know what it means, because I just told you.
That's right.
So it's me and Mike, and we have one more in the studio.
In the studio.
In the studio.
Our old friend, Nate Bowers.
We're
going to
need
back.
Emergency surgery in the studio.
Hanging out with us.
But we only have two mics, so...
He might chime in once
we only have one mic, two microphones.
Okay.
You get it?
Two turntables.
Yeah.
And a microphone.
So he can't really do anything on the show other than sit here. And every once in a while, he'll say something, and one of us will take the credit for it. We'll repeat it.
Yes. That's a good idea.
You know?
That would sure save my bacon this time,
yeah.
Right? Because I don't have
anything. You have anything. I wrote down a post-it note.
Yeah.
A post-it note. That's all I have.
Nate will whisper the answers to
Yeah. Cheat sheet.
The answers.
Yeah. Nate Cheat Sheet Bauer. Yep. All right, so today is a free-for-all episode where we're just going to talk about random things that are happening because neither of us prepared.
I'm the least prepared for
this. You have nothing. You have a chocolate bar, a piece of trash, a bottle of water, and your keys.
It's not even
you're ready to get out of here.
It's not even a full chocolate bar. There's already a piece broken off.
You're ready to make a hasty retreat when you run out of ideas. Well, I've got some.
I'm
going to
have a tasty
down.
Treat.
A tasty treat and
I
a hasty
ideas.
Retreat.
That's right.
Yeah, both those things. Okay, so you just want to jump into my list then of things that are going on?
James, I think we should.
All right, we'll start with there was news today where Ridley Scott has now said.
I read the news today, yep. Oh boy.
Two things about Prometheus.
I heard one of them.
He said that the fourth, am I right about this? The fourth Prometheus film will lead directly into Alien.
Sweet jumping Moses. I didn't know he was doing... Oh, yeah, he did say three sequels.
Three sequels.
You know what I'm saying?
That's...
No, I thought there was just one, and that was just like a...
That's asking a lot.
Well, there was the one Prometheus, but now there's... Yeah, he
now
said...
He said the fourth one... I think that's what he said. The fourth one will lead into Alien. Man, that's putting the cart before the horse, man. A lot of people didn't even like the first Prometheus.
Yeah you kind of...
It wasn't a huge hit.
It wasn't a huge hit.
No. It was more confusing than anything.
I'm sure they made some money on it, but...
Yeah, yeah that's...
I don't really...
That's
don't,
asking a lot.
I don't need four of them.
I don't know if we needed one of them.
I was okay with one.
You know, I kind of like the idea of Alien, like the space jockey and all that stuff, not knowing where anything came from. I like that idea,
like
where it was
too.
A mystery.
I don't want everything explained to me.
I don't want everything explained to me.
Let it go.
And now they're going to try and explain everything, and it's going to take them four movies to do it. That's silly. But he announced the title for the second one. Is Alien Paradise Lost. So taking Prometheus out of the title even, I guess in an effort to sell this one better than the first one. So now it's going to be an Alien movie, and it's called Alien Paradise Lost.
He worked very hard on the last one to say, make everybody think that it was not an Alien prequel.
Yeah, because when we saw the trailer for Prometheus, we didn't know it was an Alien prequel until we saw that trailer, and it was like, well, this is an Alien prequel.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And so now that he's doing everything he can to make it seem like an Alien prequel, I guess to sell more tickets.
Well,
who knows,
okay,
man?
Okay, Ridley Scott,
money.
I hope
that's what you want to do. They're doing Blade Runner 2. He's doing Blade Runner 2.
What's going on with him?
Harrison Ford said it was one of the best scripts he had ever read.
That's true, but
yeah,
Harrison Ford also did King of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, Crystal Skull.
So I'm not gonna. True. I think at this point, Harrison Ford's just like, okay, cool. It's the best thing ever. I'll do it. Yeah, I don't put much stock in that.
Yeah.
What? The only thing I'm concerned about is if there's going to be three more Prometheus films. I hope that doesn't interfere with that fifth Alien film Ripley and Hicks coming back. I want that to happen more than I want more Prometheus movies.
It probably won't. That's been greenlit, right?
I think it has, but I think they pushed it. Maybe I thought I read something where the sequel to Prometheus was going to interfere with its release date or something.
If they're all like...
I don't know.
Take like 2 years per movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got 3 of these prequels. That's
6 years.
And then another one after that, post-production. Yeah, it's going to be like 8 years.
Yeah, I want this to happen sooner, Alien 5.
Yeah.
That's going to be confusing to people. They got Alien movies that take place before Alien, and then an Alien movie that takes place after Aliens, but maybe 3 and 4 don't happen. I don't know.
With some original cast members?
Yeah, it's just have Sigourney Weaver and Michael Bean back.
I like that.
I do too. I want that movie.
I will take that movie.
I will take that movie.
I don't want the other one.
Right. Wait on the Prometheus movies.
Yeah.
And I'll take that one instead. So there was that, and then...
Hold on.
Yeah.
Don't move on yet.
I'm not going to move on.
Speaking of Ridley Scott and Blade
Runner...
Speaking of Ripley Scott...
Yep.
And Blade Runner 2...
Yep. And then speaking of Blade...
They said that Blade Runner 2 is going to answer all of the questions that you had about Deckard. I don't want
That's another scenario. We don't need the answers.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's...
I like having my own... Everybody can have their own opinion.
A little mystery.
That's the discussion. Being. People are still discussing Blade Runner because of that mystery. And if you just throw out a movie and say, ah, yeah, he's an android.
Here's the answers.
Yeah, Deckard's a replicant.
Yep.
Or, nah, he's not, but he thought he was, probably. Nah, there it is.
Here's the answers.
Here's all the answers.
Yeah, Nate's supposed to give Bauer me...
That's my job.
Nate, giving all the answers.
Nate's supposed to give me the answers.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't want to know... answers to those movies. I like the mystery aspect of all those things better than I do.
I think you take the art out of some of these movies when they're just very transparent, give you all the answers, boldface, here's what it all is.
Yeah.
There's no thought involved, and you walk out and you're just kind of like, eh, well, you know, I saw
nothing
that.
To talk about.
No. No mystery, nothing to talk about.
Yeah, nothing. No discussions happening. Cause
you don't want to be spoon-fed.
No. Yeah.
You don't want to be spoon-fed.
All those movies are... We talked about that when we talked about the... like the Burton Batman films, where it was not every single thing was explained. Like you could figure some things out on your own, and you get your own interpretation of things. I like that in movies. I don't want every little detail told to me. This is how this happens, and this is how this happens.
No good for the brain.
No thanks.
No good for the brain. Your skull brains.
Speaking of Blake, you said Blake Runner.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes is still teasing the fact that he might come back as Blake.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We were just talking about that earlier.
Discussing his role in the Expendables, the most recent Expendables.
Oh yeah,
which you haven't watched?
I haven't watched that. Oh. Yeah.
Wesley Snipes is good.
Yeah,
he's good in that.
He's in a TV show now too, and he looks he's still in great
fine.
Shape.
You know what? If he wants to be Blade again, let him be Blade.
Yeah, that's the movie that started this whole superhero.
I don't need another Blade movie.
I don't need another Blade movie.
But you know what? If Wesley Snipes wants to be Blade, let him be Blade.
Let him be Blade. The first two are okay. The first one was really good.
They're going to try to explain away how he's aged, though. Right? He's a vampire, right?
Yeah, he's part vampire.
Okay.
He's
aging slowly.
He's aging slower.
Okay.
That's to set this one in 2000.
He still looks pretty good.
78 or something.
He still looks pretty good.
Yeah, he still looks pretty good.
Keeping it up.
He still looks pretty
good.
Keeping
it tight.
He looks pretty good. He needs a goatee again. He looks weird to me without the goatee.
Yeah.
He looks strange.
That was kind of his signature
look. He looks kind of weird.
He's passenger 57.
He is the 57th passenger.
Oh, they should do passenger 58. The sequel. It's the sequel.
Yeah. It's good.
On a ship.
It's good.
Make it on a plane again.
Make it on a plane. Why not?
Okay. Speaking of Alien.
We're just blowing right through these, huh?
No, I didn't even have the Blade one written down.
Okay, good.
That was all off the cuff.
Oh, we've got a couple topics of our own.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
Well, one involves tips, so we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Charles Lippincott. No. Do we talk about this at all?
The underwear manufacturer.
No. Charles Lippincott, he was the publicity and like marketing guy on Alien, but before that, he was a publicity and marketing guy in the original Star Wars. He helped sell Star Wars when nobody wanted to buy Star Wars, right? He's the one that got the Marvel Comics deal going. He's the one that got the Kenner deal going. And managed to sell it at San Diego Con and get people excited about it with the posters and all this different stuff.
Oh, Charles Lippincott.
He was also a producer on Judge Dredd. The Sylvester Stallone movie.
Okay.
Well, Charles Lippincott, he's got Alzheimer's now. He's got the beginning stages of Alzheimer's.
That's too bad.
It's too bad. Mm-hmm. But what it was really neat is he's got a great Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you should look up Charles Lippincott. He's a great person to follow because he posts the coolest old Star Wars stuff. Like, he's just got tons and tons of stuff when he was on Star Wars, and he's just scanning it and putting it up.
Wow.
Like, call sheets and, like, diagrams for the droid stuff and, like, different bills of sales and everything.
There's a ton of that stuff coming out since Disney got it. It seems like stuff that was just secret in the vault is, like, now they're putting out all kinds of, behind-the-scenes pictures and stuff like that.
Well, he's going crazy, man. I mean, there's tons of stuff. He's doing all that for that and Alien and Judge Dredd. So, like, all the production materials he has for all these movies, he's done a blog and he's doing this Facebook page, and it's his way before his memory goes of getting it all out there and everything he remember to put it all out. Because George Lucas has really kind of treated him bad. Just like anybody else that doesn't become part of George's Yes Men, they get written out of Star Wars history. Like, Marshall Lucas is totally written out of the history of Star Wars, and he's kind of written out of the history of Star Wars because he ended up being unhappy about the Kenner deal.
Yeah.
And the way it was structured, and after the movie became a big hit,
George
or whatever.
Lucas was?
Yeah.
Well, sorry, George, to make you millions and millions of dollars.
So, but that's not the point of this, what I'm trying to get to here. So, back when the one of the Star Wars adaptations came out from Marvel, I think it was the paperback edition, there was this opening pages where Stan Lee was recollecting the whole deal to get the Star Wars comics going and how he kind of turned it down. And Roy Thomas had brought it in and got the whole thing going. Well, Rob Liefeld, the artist,
I know about him.
He had posted a picture of this and said, "Wow, you know, I love reading about comics history, and thanks, you know, the Star Wars comics would have never happened if it wasn't for Roy Thomas. Roy Thomas is the one that brought this whole thing together." And so Charles Lippincott saw this, and he said, "Well, you know, you're posting a couple pages from an old adaptation that Roy Thomas is now, you know, he's clarified things a lot that I was a big part of that deal, and just to set the record straight, that wouldn't have happened, really, if I hadn't got the deal going. I'm the one that kind of convinced Stan to get the whole thing going, and I just want to clarify that. That's kind of perpetuating a history that's been fixed at this point."
Just to be clear.
And then Liefeld was like, "Well, I don't know anything about all that. I don't know anything about all that." And he kept, like, cutting Charles up and cut off about it, and he was like, "Well, I'm just trying to clarify here.
Liefeld doesn't know a lot about a lot of things."
Well, here's the kicker.
That's my thought.
And so he's like, "Well, I don't know who Charles Lippincott is." And so then he finds out, I think he said something like that. And then it came down and he said something to the effect of, "Oh, yeah, now I know Charles Lippincott. He seems like he takes credit for a lot of stuff."
What? Who are you to say that?
Exactly.
Rob Liefeld.
If you look up Rob Liefeld swipes on Google, it will be nothing but images of where he's swiped other people's art and taken the credit for it. Why in the world would you call out somebody else for taking credit for something when your name is synonymous with taking other people's work and taking credit for it?
Because he knows it when he sees it.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous.
What a bee.
So,
what a beehole.
I just want to say again, look up Rob Liefeld swipes and just enjoy the mountain of stuff where he's swiped other people's art.
You know what? It's funny. I was thinking about Rob Liefeld swipes just the other night, and I thought that would be really fun to go back and look up some of those.
Yeah, it was a good time for me because when.
I'm going to do it now. It's been recommended by Action Features.
Lippincott was posting on his Facebook page about this whole thing going down, and he's like, "I really don't want this to turn into a war or whatever.
A tweet war."
But then I posted exactly what I'm talking about now, and I said, "It's really funny he calls you out for taking credit when he's like the king of swipes." And some guy said, "Well, you're thinking of Greg Land." And I'm like, "No, I'm thinking of Rob Liefeld." And then I just started posting some of my favorite swipes. And Charles Lippincott was like, "I had no idea about any of this because I really don't know who this guy is.
Right.
But anybody who wants to tear apart this guy now is fair game because this is ridiculous, this amount of plagiarism this guy's doing."
So you started it.
So I kind of started it.
You got to go. You okay?
I kind of started it going a little bit over on that page. But yeah. It was interesting to me.
Rob Liefeld. Speaking of Star...
I don't like you, Rob Liefeld.
Nobody likes Rob Liefeld. I'm surprised
don't like
he didn't
you.
Work.
I never heard of him, but
you will,
I don't like him.
If you ever saw a disproportionate, oddly drawn...
That guy.
...superhero from...
Yeah, the guy with the Captain America
right
half the chest. Yeah.
He knows about the chest.
I've pointed out that one before. How he got paid for that.
It's ridiculous. Like, he's turned to the side, but you can still see his left bicep somehow in full detail.
So not only that, but he's ripped off other artwork.
Yeah.
Not just, like, photographs, but, like...
Okay.
It's a good bet if it was a good Rob Liefeld drawing, it was a copy off of somebody else's.
Yeah. Which is... What a bee.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
But speaking of Star Wars...
Yeah.
Do you have a Star Wars another Star Wars
I don't have any Star Wars on here, no.
It's been rumored...
No spoilers. Okay.
But it has been
rumored. Oh, okay. I know where you're going.
Hayden Christensen is coming back for Star Wars Episode 8.
See, now I've heard it two different ways. I've had Star Wars Episode 8 and Star Wars Rogue One.
Okay.
Rogue One would make more sense because that takes place between Episode 3 and A New Hope.
Yeah.
So that would actually kind of make sense. I don't like it. I don't want Hayden Christensen back as Vader.
He's not meant for that suit. He's
no.
not a big guy.
He looks ridiculous in that
he's
suit.
He's not menacing at all.
He's
no.
not menacing. Nobody liked him I mean, maybe somebody, but hopefully nobody here liked him in that role. And not only that, Disney's made it pretty clear that all the previous stuff, all the expanded universe stuff and even the prequels, I know those are officially canon, but seemed like they're starting over. Taking a new turn for this, a turn for the better, away from George. Let's not dip back into old...
Yeah, you don't want that connection.
Yeah, don't dip back into old characters and actors that...
Yeah, it's pointless.
I even like, I like Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, but at this point, we're done with that. We're done with all that stuff. I don't want any associations.
All these movies are too far out.
Yeah, there's a lot of space.
Mm-hmm. We haven't even gotten to this one that they're making now.
They're already filming Episode 8.
Yeah.
They're filming Rogue One and Episode 8 right now.
Right.
And we don't even have Episode 7 right now.
Right.
But yeah, if it's Episode 8, it makes zero sense. It makes no sense whatsoever for Hayden Christensen to come back as Vader. If it's Rogue One, it makes sense for Vader to appear, but it doesn't make sense that it's Hayden Christensen. Because, I mean, I think he kind of begged to be in the suit for Episode 3.
Yeah.
To get to be in that suit.
Okay.
And
I could see
it
him
doesn't look good.
I could see him begging for it.
Yeah. It looks like a dad or a kid wearing his dad's clothes.
He
looks baggy and ridiculous in that.
Why do you need him? I mean,
you don't.
He's in the suit.
Yeah, he's not going to take his helmet off.
Right.
And just be chilling there with the helmet off.
It's all the voice.
Yeah, it's the voice
and
the build.
Jones.
And he doesn't have the build for it.
No.
You'd have to get like a bodybuilder guy like David Prowse.
They did.
And put him in that. You know, that's what it should be.
He's
should
tall.
Look like that.
And he's tall.
And it should connect more to A New Hope's look of Vader than Episode 3's look of Vader, because it's closer to A New Hope. It's like right before A New Hope, where they're stealing the plans and everything. So it would make more sense for it to be a Vader like A New Hope. And that's not Hayden Christensen.
Oh, but that hair, though.
You're telling
that
me, brother.
Hair.
Perfect.
It is perfect.
Unseen.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You just know it's
just
there.
Wisping around.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's
going to pop the helmet off and just like turn it back and forth like in slow-mo.
That's what I want to see. If they're going to do that, I'll
go
allow it.
Go full tilt, yeah.
I'll allow it.
Go full tilt. I'll allow it.
All out.
Okay, yeah, that was interesting.
That
was interesting
that
was stuff. They keep rumoring that one guy, I don't know the guy's at the actor's name,
Ron
DeLugo
Balls
or something
shoes.
Like that? DeLugo? I don't know.
Balls in the Shoes.
Balls in the Shoes DeLugo. That he might be Biggs just because the way he looks in that picture.
Yeah.
And he does look like Biggs in that
That's
picture.
Okay.
And I'd be cool with Biggs.
You know, Biggs never really got his.
I would like
a fair
some more time for Biggs.
Time in the light.
Yeah, you got a couple of deleted
his
scenes.
Scene got cut.
Yeah, I would like a more of an exploration of Biggs.
Dark Lighter.
Yeah.
Biggs Dark Lighter.
All right, so that's good on Star Wars. You good on Star Wars?
Yeah, I'm good on it.
Okay, Home Alone's coming back to theaters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
For Christmas.
Did you know about that?
For Christmas
no, I
only.
Didn't.
In November, it's coming back to theaters.
I did see at the end of this month that Iron Giant's coming back to the theaters.
Yeah.
We plan to see that.
It's the same. Fathom Events is the ones doing
the
it. They were the ones that brought back Jaws,
back.
Too.
All right.
So I guess they're doing that a lot, bringing back movies for anniversaries
That's
or whatever.
Really cool.
Iron Giant's supposed to have some like new scenes or something
I
put
did not
into
know
it.
That.
But Home Alone's coming back in November for the 25th anniversary. And I think we had a discussion about it not too long ago about there's not really good Christmas movies anymore.
No, they don't make them.
It's been such a long time. I'm really excited
yeah,
about that. I'm going to take the kids to that, and we're going to have like a good Christmas movie
yeah.
at a theater. That's
yeah.
going to be...
Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Are you going to get popcorn?
I'll probably get popcorn, maybe some Raisinets. I think it'll be a good time.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to pay... movie tickets are ridiculously expensive.
You got that right.
We take the whole family. We're going to spend like $75 for one night. And I'm 9 times out of 10, if it's a new movie, I'm going to go, I wasted my money. I've seen Home Alone countless times. I'm going to pay that $75, go see the movie as a family, and feel like, okay, that was worth
you
it.
You know you're going to laugh.
I know I'm going to laugh. Again. I know I'm going to have a good time. I know I'm going to like the movie. I'm not going to walk out disappointed.
Yep.
I'm cool with that.
You'll see it on the big screen.
I'll pay it. I'll pay it to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was... That was another thing on my list. Now I've only got 4 left.
Woo!
Yep.
We're riding on James's list.
Hey, guys.
Oh, we totally are. I knew we were.
Anybody need any chocolate bars?
Hey.
You know, I got a lot of them.
Mike's got a partial.
James is selling chocolate bars.
I'm selling chocolate bars.
He's actually hoping to give up his regular job so he can continue.
If anyone listening to the podcast is in the Cincinnati area and you're looking for chocolate bars.
You know they're not.
You come to me.
The chocolate bar king of Cincinnati.
You want to get a chocolate bar? You come to me.
That's pretty good.
Mad Max.
That was pretty good.
Yeah,
you know that we've alienated everybody.
I know that, but I have to try. Because you know why? Because the school, they go, okay, look, we're going to sell candy bars this year. It's a fundraiser, candy bars.
Fundraiser.
It's a fundraiser.
Fun.
It's a fun
fundraiser.
That's right.
So they're in these cases of candy bars, right? There's 60 in a case.
Well, this is caramel, Mike.
That's got caramel
that's
in
not
it.
Not even chocolate. Okay.
I have two
it's,
boys
it's
at
both.
School, right?
Yeah.
So they send a case home with each. I'm thinking, okay, a case... That's
sure.
good. They send home two cases each. So I have 240 candy bars.
Really trying to
at
really
my house. And it's like summertime, man. I got to keep these things in the fridge. So I have this huge chunk of my fridge is eaten up by 240 candy bars. What am I going to do with all these?
Well, I got two.
You got two.
I bought two of them.
I bought like five so far. And I'm already sick of them. So I need help from anyone in the Cincinnati area that's looking for chocolate. Don't go to your local convenience store. Call me up.
It'll be very
inconvenient. Email me.
You're going to have to...
I'll mail them to people.
Yeah. You're going to have to file a separate tax form.
For just these candy bars.
Just the candy bars that you're selling.
And you know what? You can't just sell out in front of like Kroger's anymore. But like when we were kids, you could just go to like a grocery store, put your table out front, and just start selling.
Accost people.
Yeah.
As they come out.
Exactly. Yeah. That was good times. You got a good amount of sales that way. So I called Kroger just to check and see what's... Because I figured there's some kind of deal now. So I called him up and I said, hey, my kids are selling candy bars. Are you allowed to just like set up out front? Is there a deal to that? He's like, oh, yeah, there's a deal to that. You can't just do that. I was like, what's the deal? He said, well, you have to schedule a time. You have to come in. You have to talk to us about what it's for. You have to schedule a time that you're going to be here and what time you're going to leave. And you have to bring us all the nonprofit forms. So you're going to have to get nonprofit forms from your school to make sure it's a nonprofit deal and all this stuff. So I'm like, I'm not going to do all that. I just want the kids to sell some candy bars. Yeah, and so he's like, well, that's the deal now. And we might do it or we might not do it. We could always turn you down, too, after you do all this
I understand this as work. A company, honestly.
I do, too, because it's gotten out of hand with the amount of panhandling and stuff like that goes on. But it stinks because now that's a big way. Because now the only way we're going to do it is we go door to door to door, or the people that listen to this podcast pony up and say, here's $200.
What if...
here's all the $200. Here's
what if,
it all.
What if you set up like a lemonade stand, and then when they get there... Oh, sorry, we don't have any lemonade.
But we have dollar candy bars.
I wonder if you are hungry.
Hmm.
You were thirsty.
You were thirsty.
Have
now
this chocolate
hungry.
Bar.
See if this satisfies you. Hmm?
There's a hunger inside you.
So please help.
Please help. You've already done more... in the effort to sell these, then I think I would have.
You'd have just taken the box back.
I wouldn't have called Kroger.
I'd just been like, honestly. We're not selling these. These are going back to the school.
Well, dear, how many friends do you have?
Well, I don't know.
Three?
I don't know what happens like to all the candy bars. Like, what do we do? Do we,
yeah, are you
do we just bring them back?
Them?
Am I stuck with them? Do I have to buy them now? I don't know what the deal is.
Food back
it'd be great if you were stuck with them, maybe.
Could be.
If you didn't have to pay for them?
I would have to pay for them, I would think.
But what if you didn't?
That'd be great. But
is it like a caramello?
Yeah, there's four different types.
You
there's milk chocolate.
Piece here
there's almond.
Like
Fifth Avenue.
There's the crunch bar type of thing.
Okay.
And then there's the caramel
don't
inside.
Don't be afraid if you
it's
want
the soft
that.
Caramel inside.
Yeah.
Like a caramello.
I am not a fan.
Do you like the crunch bar?
I'm not a fan. I like the crunch bars.
There's a crunch one. It's called the WF Crisp.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll put you down for one.
I'll
put you down
for
one
case.
Yeah. I think I have a case here. So you'll be set.
Wheeling and dealing.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best to sell these candy bars.
Speaking of money.
Yeah.
Let's talk about tips.
Okay.
We'll get your opinion on.
Oh, I would love to talk about this because I had a confusion over this the other day.
Okay, we're gonna.
Do you want me to say what I was confused about?
Action Features fans, we're going to clear this up for you right here, right now.
There's two situations where I've gotten confused about the tips lately.
Okay.
You guys want to talk first?
Let's hear it. Maybe we've discussed it.
I went to pick up. We got some takeout sushi the other day. All right, it was takeout, and I went in and I picked it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I paid with a credit card.
So you got the receipt.
So you got
the receipt.
The receipt. And it's got the line for the tip.
Yep. Tip, total,
tip,
and signature.
Total, and signature.
Yep.
So when I see that, I just put the signature.
Right.
I don't fill anything in.
You got to blank out that
you
space because some employee
some people
is
will
say,
fill that in.
Oh, $3 right here, and you'll never know.
Well, when I signed it, the guy kind of gave me a look. He gave me kind of a look like, thanks.
Yes.
And put away like, wait a second.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I don't tip you for that.
I drove here. I came in and got it. I don't think I have to tip you.
You did the work.
I did all the work.
You deserve the tip.
Exactly. And he should be tipping me. I should have a little bit taken off the bill.
You're paying for the food. That's what the money is
exactly.
For.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's the... I think that's the definite no tip. You
no
did
tip.
All the work. Now, here's my scenario. It's a buffet.
Oh.
They seat you. They bring you drinks.
Yeah.
They might clear some dirty plates.
Mm-hmm.
Tip then?
You got to tip then.
You think so?
I tip then. I do tip them. I don't tip as much.
Yeah.
But I do tip them. I usually leave a couple bucks.
I do not tip.
Ooh, this guy's
I know.
This guy's a jerk.
They can't poison his food because it's a buffet.
It's a buffet.
I'm getting my
You say, I already got it.
Everybody's going to pay the price for Nate. Yeah, everybody's going to get pee in their food. Every single person.
Okay.
This guy didn't tip. The rest of the day, everybody's food gets peed in.
Well, the thing is...
extreme. Here's the other one.
Okay.
Curbside takeaway.
What is this? Do you have, like, junk you need to get rid of? That,
no, that's
no.
A special...
Like, when you go to, like, Outback, and there's a curbside service.
Curbside pickup.
Where you pull the car up, and they tell you, they ask you to make a car, and they bring the food out to you.
Okay, they walk it out to you.
They walk it out to you. In that case, you are supposed to tip. I read it online.
Is it summer or is it winter?
That's silly
is
to me.
Is it fall or is it winter?
Yes, I was going to ask, is it cold out?
Is it raining?
All the time. The way I read it online is it's all the time. Because those people in there...
Keyword online.
That's true. But apparently, they get the same wages. Their salary is based the same way as a waiter or waitress is. Where they only get a minimum fee and then they rely on tips for the rest of it.
Here's how I work that out. I don't do the curbside pickup. Now, you have children, so maybe you have to.
I have to sometimes. Well, they almost don't give you the option. When you call in, it's like, are you calling...
Oh, you're here for the curbside?
The curbside takeaway. That's what it is. It's the curbside takeaway.
No, I'll walk in, thanks, and I'll pick it up myself.
I started doing it. I started doing the walk-in.
I wouldn't
tip there either.
I'm not tipping there.
You don't tip in there. But, and I'll tell you what. We discussed this. The receipt.
The receipt. I hate it.
They cannot take away the tip from the receipt.
It's built into the software.
You're going to have that. It's confusing because you think that they've given you, hey, here's the option to tip. But what they're really doing is just running the credit card.
It's running the credit card.
Right.
So I put a big fat swipe right through that.
I sometimes do.
You got to fill it in.
I sometimes do if I know I can get away pretty quick. You know what I mean? Like,
but
I can just fill it in real quick.
They sit there and watch you.
The guilt.
The guilt is into it. Yeah, I can feel them watching me because they hand it to me and then they
watch you.
They watch you.
They watch you.
What are you going to do?
How was everything tonight? Good.
What are you going to do?
I always give them a good, solid... Have a good night.
Yeah.
You have a good
That's
night.
That's good enough.
That's my
They slide it over to you, and they're like, now, do you need any silverware or any napkins?
Would you like an extra bag of sauce?
Anything else?
Would you like a sauce bag?
Duck sauce?
Is there any other service I can provide other than the services I've already provided?
That you've already paid for?
You mean the service that you're getting paid for?
Yeah.
To
what
do?
Are you getting paid for?
You have to look them in the eye, cross it out in slow motion.
Yeah.
With a loud screaming sound.
And just say it to him.
Yes.
Just tell him when
cross it out.
When you've done something to earn this, I will give you a tip.
No tip. I'm going to put the total down here, and it's going to be the same amount that was above the tip line.
See, and I've
so that
I've
way done everybody's like, clear that there's no
that's
tip.
What I do.
There's
you no have
tip.
To do it. You have to do that.
They could fill it in after the fact.
They could totally fill it in.
They've already run your number.
Yeah, they could totally fill it in.
That's right.
And sometimes I go back and look at my credit card. If I don't, I go back and look at my credit card, and I'm like, I wonder if
check
they...
Check it. See, I
wonder if they
check.
Did that to me. I wonder if they,
I get this,
like, if they snuck it in.
Costanza worry that they remember me next time.
Yeah.
And so I feel like...
you can only
I
eat everywhere
guilty.
One time.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, he never tipped.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so funny you guys brought that up because we just had the sushi like a week ago, and it was very uncomfortable after I got the receipt. Like,
it's always going to be uncomfortable after sushi.
He looked very unhappy about what I'd done. Like,
because the other
okay,
one, the
I'm
other
sorry.
The hair, like getting your hair cut.
Yeah,
you're supposed to tip
it's a big
your barber.
One.
I do always tip my barber.
Good
you're,
suppo- for you.
You're supposed
I do
to
it.
Tip him. But
I know.
I think we can all just let's start being in agreement that that is a ridiculous practice.
It is a ridiculous practice.
Especially
that's
there.
What they do.
Yeah.
You don't get a product. You're not getting food.
That's true.
You're walking out with something, you're paying for the service already.
Yeah. The problem there is, it's the same deal though as waiters and waitresses where a lot of that money is going into the manager and the franchise and stuff like that.
Right.
And these guys...
The haircutters
are the ones paying the price where they're stuck working for the tip.
They have their own equipment.
They kind of
exactly.
Too.
They've got to pay for their own scissors. And their Yeah, so... In those regards, I can understand.
Yeah.
And they actually are providing... They're doing a service. They're doing something. Whereas these guys where I'm going and get my own food...
Yeah, that's a different...
And pulling it out. I've already paid for the food.
We need to set something up where they've got their own business. They can get their own business. Because...
Yeah.
The price keeps going up on haircuts. Let's
be
honest.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's like $13 now.
Let's be honest. $13? $14?
Yeah.
It's
pricey.
You want me to pay $14?
Well, when I go in, I usually take me and the boys at the same time.
So, boy, you're paying another $40, $35.
That's three haircuts $38. And three tips. That's
like a three-hour event?
Well, they usually get us all in at the same time because
okay,
they have like – we go to great clips. And I will say this, the Great Clips over in Springdale is awesome. Everybody that works there, so if, super cool and nice.
Yeah.
And I don't mind tipping them because they always do a great job.
I'll tell you what, the tip, I started cutting my own hair when I found out the tip thing even existed.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm not paying that. I'm cutting my own hair.
You do a good job. It looks fine. It looks great.
It took me a while.
What do you use, a Flobee?
It took me
a while. You use one of those Flobees?
The vacuum?
Yeah.
I use the gauges.
You remember the Flobee?
Yeah.
You do the gauges on your own hair?
I do the gauges, yeah.
How do you get the back? He's going to turn around and it's going to look jagged and destroyed.
It's horrible.
Oh, I just do my best.
No one's ever said anything. Yeah.
He just always faces people.
I
he never. He's always
know.
Backing up, you know, as people are walking. I'll walk in the back.
He's wearing one of those.
You guys go ahead first.
He's wearing one of those baseball caps that was popular in the 90s
the
that has the cape on the back.
Yeah, those are King's Island. They get like the beast hat.
Wears a lot of hoodies.
I'm going on safari or something. No, what you need is you need an Uber barber, where you call the barber, like the Uber cab.
Yeah.
And they come to you.
Oh, that's not bad.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
Convenience of my own house.
See ya.
On call.
Yeah.
I don't know where the majority of the money, I mean, I understand it's a business, but if the hairdressers are there, they're the ones that are doing everything. They're getting like a $3 tip and the company's getting $14. Plus they're renting out their booths.
I really like the people at that Springdale, so I talk to them a lot about what happens there in their business and
what
stuff.
What do they
like
have
that.
To say?
And they make it pretty clear that most of that money that you're paying for that haircut is going to the franchise,
right.
And it's going to the manager, and it's going to the system itself. And they get very little off of each.
If there
haircut.
Are any barbers or haircutters in this audience, here's an idea for you: get all of your people together and say, let's go into business together. And open up your own place where everybody just gets the money from the haircut.
Yeah.
Straight up. Just straight up. Oh, you cut hair? You're getting $12.
You're getting $12.
You get $12 for a haircut. Sally over there didn't do anything today.
She's getting nothing.
She gets nothing.
I should have a sweep up hair all day.
If she swept hair, she should get something.
She should get something. She gets something for that.
But if she doesn't get a customer, that's that.
You know, bless those people who've been touching other people's hair.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's gross.
It's got to be rough sometimes. I see some people that come in there, and I'm like, that's rough. That's really rough what you're
going
to go
through
right
now. Sorry
you
had to do
gross people.
Yeah. I think they deserve the tips more than the takeout and the curbside people.
You know,
I'm not saying those people don't deserve to get paid.
You've changed my mind.
I'm saying
that
great.
I'm glad. Hey,
you are correct.
Yeah, I'm glad about that. That's good. But I'm with you guys on the curbside and the takeout.
Well, I've heard,
it's ridiculous.
Well, you're with me on the haircut tipping too, because I tip
trash removal and the mailman. Like I don't.
Stuff,
No.
I'm sorry. No. I'm not going to tip the mailman.
It is online, isn't it?
It is.
Tip your mailman.
It says tip the mailman.
Who's
I'm
home?
I'm not doing it.
Who's home when the mail's coming? And if you're home during the day,
that's a good job.
Do you have?
You get great benefits.
Do you have money?
You got a government job.
Do you have money to tip if you're home during the day?
No.
Probably not. Maybe you work nights, but are you awake?
I don't get the mailman and the garbage man thing. What am I supposed to do? Like tape the tip to the garbage can?
Yeah.
We saw two mailmen today. How long? 10 minutes?
10 minutes easy.
Shooting the breeze out in the middle of the street.
They're just having fun.
Just having fun. I mean, we do the same thing on our jobs, but I don't expect tips.
By the way, sloppily dressed.
They're garbage men.
They just haphazard. No, they're
U.S. Postal men.
I think you said garbage men. We're doing this.
The Postal Service. Oh. I don't mind if garbage
guys
are talking.
It's getting to be where you can't tell the difference between.
Yeah.
No self-respect whatsoever. Just anybody who can come out here and hand this out is fine.
You know, and there may be garbage men listening.
I'm not saying it's
not
a hard job.
There might be postmen listening. There may be takeout people listening. And they're all probably thinking right now, like, well, they don't know how hard my job is.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't know how hard your job is.
I know it's a hard job.
It's tough for me to figure out this. We got to, like, have some kind of structure or some kind of guidelines online that tell us exactly what money you're getting for what you're getting. Or what you're doing, you know, that justifies this whole tip situation. Because I don't know the whole story, so
right.
It's tough for me to go, yeah, you deserve a tip, because I don't know how much you're getting out of the original bill.
Well, for a postman, that's a job that you take. You don't take that for tips.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I don't
true.
Get it.
Yeah, you don't
I mean,
get into
you
it
take
for
that,
tips.
Like you said, they get good benefits. The trash men get paid well, is from what I understand.
Yeah,
and,
oh,
they should. Because
they should,
because
it's a crappy job.
Right.
But in the winter? Oof.
It's got to be terrible.
Well, why am I tipping you? I'm already paying the county for the service.
I know. I don't get
I put
it.
A
it's
stamp,
tough.
I put a stamp on there. The post office told me if I spend 42 cents, you could take my letter.
I can tell you, I couldn't hack it as a hairdresser. I couldn't hack it as a garbage man. I couldn't hack it as a postman. I'm saying your jobs are difficult, and you should be paid well for your jobs. But I need to know what the deal is that you needed the tip Are you not getting paid well? Are they saying, well, you're only going to get paid this amount of money, and the rest of it you need to make on tips? Well, that's what you need to make it on.
Well, the tip, what are you hoping to gain by the tip? Better mail delivery?
Right. What? Yeah, what kind of service is actually being provided?
Letters behind the bushes?
You're going to get your stuff before everybody else in the block?
This mailman that we saw earlier, by the way, was tossing a package up in the air and attempting to catch it.
He was making a game.
And he did
That's pretty sweet.
And he did not catch it.
Was it Ace Ventura? Are you sure it was an Ace Ventura?
Going downtown. We're going downtown.
Say, I was broken. Most likely, sir.
I'm sure it was something nice, though.
Cute dog. Mind if I pet him?
I feel like we should digress. I think we're getting...
Yeah.
These guys do a. They do a.
Yeah, I want to be really clear about that. We're not saying that
it's
these
easy
people.
It's
easy to say that. Oh well, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve that.
Especially with the hairdressers. Yeah. I want to see them go out and get their own. If you're not getting paid well, go out and get something where you're paid.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the other. It's a tough job, but
it's the tough situation where we don't know the whole story about who makes what.
I'll tell you, my story is that my mailman or my garbage man are not getting tips. Not because
I got to be honest that mine aren't either.
Not because I don't respect their profession, but to my knowledge, you took the job and agreed on a price that you were getting paid for that job.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm not home when they take.
Plus,
the
I'm not home.
So,
am I gonna leave a dollar? Am I gonna leave a dollar in the mailbox?
If I knew that the mailmen and the garbage men that their salary was dependent on tips, it would be a different story for me. Then I would be like, okay, well, maybe I should be tipping.
It would be a different story.
Whereas, the hairdressing people, I know that their salary is dependent on tips. Waiter and waitresses, I know their salaries are dependent
on
tips.
You have interaction with all those people.
Yeah.
I don't see the garbage man. He shows up at 7:30 in the morning.
Maybe I'll give you a Christmas card.
You want a Christmas card?
I'll give you a Christmas card.
Nice to all of them. I mean, you know, I respect what they do.
Sure, absolutely.
You don't look down on them. So
no, you're not going to look down on them.
This reminds me of that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Where he's got there's a tip line for both the waiter and for the captain.
Yeah.
The guy that gets him to the table and stuff. He's like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give extra to the waiter, and then they can decide if they want to give it to the captain.
There you go.
Yeah, so, and that's the way it is, because he didn't know the situation with the captain. And of course, it came back to bite him in the butt.
Right, of course.
Because the captain. Because it's Larry David.
Because it's Larry David. Yeah. And he gets a tough break.
Well, that was interesting. It was,
that was quite an action features dive.
That was.
Well, Nate brought that up.
That was great.
Sorry, yeah.
Good job.
Thank
that was
you.
Good. We need more of him.
I told you. I know you're trying to replace me.
What's you said there were two things?
Look, I'll say this.
Oh, yeah,
if you're going to replace me, I will put my... Nate is a good candidate for that.
Okay.
If you're going to replace me.
All right.
Okay, well, I'll just get your contact info.
Yeah, this is a big interview. It's just one big interview.
That's right.
We're going to start recording every other Thursday, Mike. It's going to be a different Thursday than there was before.
Different show.
Nate, you come back in on the Thursdays where it was originally scheduled.
Let's be sure. Yeah. This goes back to where you're filming, like, recording fake episodes with me.
Yeah, where nothing's plugged in.
Just to keep me going.
Oh, yeah, it's recording. It's definitely recording. Yep.
Just to keep from hurting my feelings.
Did everybody like the new episode? Oh, they loved it. They loved the new episode. Everybody's talking about it online. They're really enjoying the
show.
Actually,
we've got a deal. Somehow this goes back to you paying
you.
Like, we're getting royalties.
We're killing it, man.
We're killing it. We're getting all kinds of royalties. Here's your cut.
Some chocolate.
It's all out of pocket.
Yeah, it's chocolate. It's chocolate bars.
That's what the fundraising chocolate's actually for. It's for the fund that I'm putting together to make it so that Mike thinks that the show is a success. We have to get kicked off. Okay, so you said two things you guys were thinking
I did say that. That was foolish of me.
You did.
It was just one thing.
I just said the one.
It was just the one. Okay.
I was saving that. I had the tip in my back pocket. I was saving that.
Did we talk about the Zack Snyder Marvel Ant-Man thing last episode?
Oh, no. We didn't get to that. We've had two special episodes. It's time to...
What a turd burglar, man.
What a beehole.
Okay, so this whole thing with Steven Spielberg comes out where he's saying that the superhero movies are going to go the way of the Western.
Right.
And I somewhat agree with him that I think eventually people are going
absolutely.
To get tired of
you
it.
You can't keep this pace up.
There's no way.
No.
And so Zack Snyder was asked about that, and he said, I kind of somewhat agree that it's probably going to be to the point where there's just too many. He's like, but thankfully the movies we're working on are starring Batman and Superman, and those are historical icon characters.
They transcend.
Yeah,
they're
beyond that. It's not like what Marvel's doing with like Ant-Man, where it's just like, you know, here's the flavor of the week hero.
Right.
I didn't know Ant-Man was a flavor of the week.
I didn't either. It seems like he's been around I don't know, like, say 40 years or so. That's a long week.
Well, not only that, but the movie just kind of like quietly succeeded.
Yeah.
Like it came out and people liked it and it was in the theater for a while. It wasn't just like this flashbang pow.
No.
Like, whoa, Ant-Man's awesome. Okay, forget it.
Well, the same with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
It's like... That's Guardians of the Galaxy is not Spider-Man level,
right?
No,
but it's not flavor of the week either. You know, it's not like Guardians of the Galaxy hasn't been around for a while, but they're just showing Marvel's showing that they can do kind of the lesser-known properties and open them up to a bigger audience. It's not flavor of the week. What do we have now? What do we have that we can throw out now? It's every step of the way they're looking at things like, would this work as a film? Would this be, you know, and they've proved it with Guardians of the Galaxy and with Ant-Man. They both were big hits.
Zack Snyder,
he's grasping at straws now to make DC seem like what they're doing is innovative and it's not just copying Marvel and what they're doing. Oh, they're way behind. And so it's like, let's get to it as fast as we can. But I read the other day where the guy that plays Winter Soldier, I can't remember his name, Sebastian Shaw. Is that it?
No.
Sebastian Bach. Johann Sebastian Bach. Well, the guy that plays Winter Soldier, and I'm sorry I'm blanking on his name, they asked him what he had thought about what he had said.
Alec Baldwin.
And he said, well, I really don't think what we're doing, and I'm paraphrasing all this, he's like, I really don't think what we're doing is flavor of the week. But, you know, I guess doing a lesser-known character like that is better than trying to redo a Nolan film but not doing it as well.
Trying to redo a better Nolan film.
And I was like, wow, that's... Yes. Now, that's a smart comeback. That's not just where you have nothing to base it on. You're really basing it on...
For whatever you think about the superhero movies, and I'm tired of seeing it myself.
Me too.
We've discussed this, but Marvel is just doing a killer job.
It's not even close. Yeah,
I mean, they link them all together, and
they took time to build it too.
And when it's all done, you're gonna have all these like these movies that you could watch as a big epic thing all together.
I will say that you could really build a library and have these to go back to years later. And
right.
Yeah.
Ones that you missed. I'll be watching Ant-Man like 5 or 10 years from now after all the smoke is cleared. And I'll be like, hey, you know what?
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And even like even the films that I maybe did not enjoy as much, like Iron Man 2, when I watch it as a piece of this whole thing, it's like, okay, well, now I kind of like, I can see it as a piece of this working. It may not work as well on its own, but it kind of works as a piece of this because they really were building something. You know, not everyone is going to be the greatest thing ever when you're building something towards something bigger. But with DC, it really feels like, let's do this as fast as we can, and let's get it out there as fast as we can.
Yeah,
you know, this is the Warner. I saw two things. We talked about this on the show before, where the Warner execs watched Batman versus Superman and they loved it, and this was a big news item. So the guys that made the movie, the thing they invested in, they liked it. That's great. Okay, why don't you show me the movie and see if I like it?
Yes,
and that'll be a real barometer if it's good or not, because I have nothing invested in this movie. Of course they're going to say, what would be big news if they watched it and didn't like
it. They said this is crap.
That would be news.
Which doesn't turn out to be news. It turns out to be no press releases until the day of.
That's like Fantastic Four.
Flavor of the week.
And they've now said that they want more Batman in the Batman vs. Superman film. Of course they do.
Of course they do.
Because Batman's the only thing they have that has succeeded in the last 15 years. It's just, shut that out there. So that's that's some interesting stuff with Zack Snyder. But even more hated than Zack Snyder is the Paul Feig, or whatever his name is, that's doing Ghostbusters.
Oh, my goodness.
He just went on a Twitter rant yesterday or the day before.
I didn't see this, but I heard.
He was on a rant where he was just tearing into anybody that was, like, dogging the film. Yeah. I mean, like, cursing at him and just saying, I'm sick of you. I'm sick of having to defend this. You don't know what we did to the film. Why are you against Ghostbusters for a New Generation? And you should shut the up, and all these different things where it was just like ranting, where it's just like the guy has obviously
snapped.
Nobody has confidence in your film because it was a horrible idea to redo Ghostbusters and redo it so completely different than what it was before.
Dollar signs just falling away, so he has to do something.
He's grasping at that misogynistic thing too. It's like his go-to thing. Right. I'm so tired of the misogynistic comments. It really isn't that. It's the fact that you're redoing Ghostbusters, and nobody wants Ghostbusters redone, especially with a completely different cast, a completely different makeup, and where you obviously went and said, let's make it all female, to make it something really different that everybody will talk about.
And try and pass off this this Herculean hunk as some nerdy...
It's just...
Some nerdy guy.
Secretary,
that's the word.
Yeah.
To add insult to injury, and I know we've been on Ghostbusters for a while, so I don't want to keep harping on it, but it turns out like almost all the original cast now has a cameo.
Yeah.
Has cameo parts in it. Which to me is only gonna highlight the fact that you're not getting the Ghostbuster movie that you actually wanted.
Right. Yeah.
You're not getting the sequel to Ghostbusters that you really wanted.
And I understand, oh, this is a fun thing, they'll be in here, but you know, once you have all of them back, Well, wait a second. How about just get all of them back and put them in suits and let's do a Ghostbusters movie like we wanted for
And
the
if you
last
really
want to
do new Ghostbusters, why not have the old guys back as the Ghostbusters training the new guys? If you really want to do it that bad.
That's what they were talking about before.
At
anyway.
Least that'll give us the old fans a little something. And the people that really like Ghostbusters, because Ghostbusters is those four guys. That's what it is.
It was better off left alone.
It really was. You just
leave it.
I would have rather had anything than have these things that we're getting. But a person that really has confidence in what they're doing and in their product and what they're putting forth doesn't need to rant and curse and go crazy at people and point at little things like, well, you hate it because you hate this sexism thing and you hate it because of this and, oh, you guys should wait and see this. A person that really has confidence in what they're doing just sits back and goes, okay, that's fine. Wait until the product comes out.
Let it speak for itself.
And let it speak for itself.
Maybe he's got a guilty conscience.
But
because
he's losing
I think
it.
He might know.
Because of his phony hospital photo shoot.
That was terrible.
Set up. That's what turned me off, like, more than anything to the whole thing.
No kid in the hospital knows what they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, here, take a picture with the Ghostbusters. This movie's not out yet.
This movie's not. I don't know who these girls are that are dressed as Ghostbusters.
Those photographs were so staged looking.
Oh, they were
so
incredibly staged.
It just screamed, hey, please like us, please.
Why were they wearing the suits there? Nobody recognizes them in the suits. Why not just go as Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy and this person and this person? Just send them there like that if you're not doing a publicity stunt. But you're going to send them in the suits because it's a publicity stunt.
Right.
Put them in suits.
Not because you care about kids.
No.
Yeah, it's not because that at all. Yeah.
It's using the kids.
You know, the stars from Marvel, when they show up in the suits, it's because those movies already came out. And so the kids recognize them as those characters. So when they show up at a hospital or something in those suits, it's because the kids want to see Star-Lord and they want to see Captain America because they've seen the movies. They're not showing up before a movie comes out dressed up as a character and expecting the kids to know what that character is.
It was funny to see the look on those kids' faces. Nobody looked happy. They're just like,
you're like, okay, I'm not really sure who this is supposed to be. I saw my mom watched Bridesmaids. Is that who you are?
Not gonna know.
Yeah, that's just it was. It's so reeked of a publicity stunt. The same thing where they gathered all the women that were in the production crew or something, and they had them all in one picture, and they were holding up something where it was like something about
really pushing that
female empowerment or something like that. And it really obviously was like, let's cling on to something.
Please,
there's some audience that's here that's going to listen to this part of it instead of just having faith in the product.
I'll say it again.
If you really want to do it, then do it.
I'll say it again. The movie's going to make money.
It is, regardless of what we do.
Financial money, yes.
And there will be plenty of people that like it.
Yeah, so. I'm sure there will be. And you know, it probably would have made just as much money had you not called it Ghostbusters.
Right.
It probably would have, if you'd have just done a Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig film with those, I don't know the other two ladies' names, where they're just a
Nobody
funny
does.
Team of investigators or whatever, it would have made just as much money.
Sure.
I really think, and it would have been probably much more well-received than what they're doing now. But they decided to slap the Ghostbusters name on it and trying to make their own thing, and that's just
names of tombstones.
Names of tombstones, baby.
Okay,
so that's enough about.
That's enough about that.
We shouldn't have any more Ghostbusters news for a while.
We shouldn't. That rant I had, it was ridiculous. Yeah. It was all over the place.
You hate to see somebody fold under pressure for one.
Yeah,
and you hate to see somebody treat purported fans. You know, like I think about J.J. Abrams the way he's handled Star Wars.
Yeah,
and the whole time, like, you know, there might have been some skeptics at first because, you know, there was the backlash with the lightsaber and everything for the first trailer, and we were guilty of some of that also.
Totally.
Because we just don't know. We just have no idea.
We only have the prequels to base.
Right.
And our experience there to base this on.
But he has, like, slowly and steadily and very calmly been like, okay, guys, just trust me on this. Like, just
you want to talk about pressure.
Trust. Oh, no doubt.
That's
yeah,
huge.
I mean, that France, yeah.
That's huge.
Worldwide.
And so for him to handle it that way and sort of garner more fans instead of
alienate them?
Yeah, pushing people away by saying, you know, calling them this and that. And just saying like, hey, I understand your issue with this. But trust me, this is going to be a fun ride. This is going
to
be a good
time.
That would
have been the way to handle it. But instead you pick out certain things that you can make your soapbox.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't do that if you have confidence and faith in your product.
Yeah.
You really shouldn't.
He's a bum.
Let it stand. There was one other thing that I saw today. There's this list that I really don't want to talk about.
The second season of Gotham started.
I don't watch the
Gotham?
Show.
You don't watch Gotham?
I'm not interested.
What?
I love Batman too much to watch Gotham.
Go. Oh, okay. Here we go. it's a really good show. It's not about Batman.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem, is that it's got all these villains running around
there
as kid villains. They should not be around before Batman's Batman.
You don't watch
when
it.
I saw the first trailer and they were introducing little girl Poison Ivy and little girl Catwoman and young Riddler and young this no. guy and young Penguin.
Okay.
That was enough for me. That's enough for me.
You're not giving it a chance.
I don't need to give it a chance because
no, you should because it's
a lot of people say I should give I know, things chances, see, but I don't.
Yes.
Because
he doesn't.
I have no reason to give it a chance because I know what I like about Batman.
Well, that's fine.
And I know
that's,
the story of Batman that I like. So instead of watching that, I'll just watch a rerun of Batman the Animated Series.
Well, I'll say, okay, I'll give
tell
it...
What, tell what you... Tell
I'll
you
give
what
it a defense.
Like.
It's... The villains, especially in Season 1, I'm a little worried about Season 2 because it's subtitled Rise of the Villains. You know, but Season 1, it's all about Jim and...
Gordon.
Jim Gordon and how he starts as a beat cop and he wants to come into a very corrupt Gotham and clean it up. And it's a story about a hero... Being good, because that's what you should do, carrying out the good, that's the job, the justice.
I would
the
be with it if it wasn't
in.
For the young villains.
There aren't any villains. They're not villains in it.
I don't want the introduction of Selina Kyle as this cat burglar girl, and I don't
She's
want young
girl.
Poison Ivy and all these different... I just don't like the idea of introducing Batman's villains before Batman. That, to me,
but
makes no
they're
sense.
They're not bad yet.
But they're gonna be.
Well, yeah, well, of course, they're gonna be. They gotta
they're
be.
Gonna be.
Well, Batman's not Batman yet.
What? That's ringing on the phone.
I'll take the mic. I'll take the mic.
I'm definitely
getting replaced. I gotta be honest. I probably won't give the show a chance.
Well, it's good.
Flash is good.
It no. Oh my gosh. What?
You don't watch The Flash?
No. I don't need to watch The Flash.
You need to watch The Flash.
I don't need to give it a chance because no.
The Flash is actually much closer to what The Flash is. They have fun with The Flash. They're doing actually comic booky things on The Flash,
yeah.
Like introducing Gorilla Grodd and. It being like
gorilla
really
Grodd?
Gorilla Grodd, it's yeah, and he's really a gorilla.
You've got a problem with child villains that aren't villains yet, but you'll watch.
Well, that's because Gorilla Grodd
gorilla
is from
Grodd.
The comics. You know, like it has a much more comic book vibe to it.
I
than,
love this debate. This is good.
Then you know, if you were going to do a Gotham show, I would have loved a Gotham PD show where it's really young Gordon in Gotham.
It is,
and, but without all the Batman villains. Like
there
I don't need
any. They're crime bosses. The first season is...
Penguin is definitely in the show.
He's in it, yes, but he's not the... He's
young
crying.
Catwoman is definitely in the show.
No, you can't call her Catwoman.
Okay, well, young Selina Kyle...
Selina Kyle was witness to a crime.
Is she doing, like, burglar-type stuff?
She's homeless, so she has
but
to
But is she doing burglar-type stuff?
Yeah, but not
okay,
like...
Okay, so
no,
she's...
No, 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 you can't
so
just
she's
call
being that.
Okay.
Is there a young no. Pamela Isley in the show? Is she doing any kind of plant stuff involved?
No. She wears a green There's sweater.
Not.
She wears a green sweater, that's it. Her,
is there young
her
Riddler?
Father,
is there young Riddler involved?
No, he's a forensic expert.
But there's a young Edward Nygma involved in the
there's
show.
There's a young Edward Nygma, and he enjoys riddles. If you like the universe,
there's
going to
be a young Joker involved, too, isn't there?
I do have a problem with young Joker.
Okay, and so there is a young Joker.
He's in season two. Season one is solid by itself. It's an excellent show. It's not Batman to me.
That's my
but
problem.
It's really cool. I know, but it's really cool, like Alfred... One of the best portrayals of Alfred. He's this ex-SIS, British, you know. He's not this, like, oh, proper butler that can't take care of himself. Like, he's, now that Bruce's parents are dead, he's got this problem. He's got to kind of raise this boy
yeah.
that's obviously got issues. And he teaches him how to fight, stand up for himself. I mean, there's some issues there.
Mm. I wish I could say that I'm going to give it a chance.
See, nobody in the audience can see your
James,
face.
James
yeah.
had...
he's not moving.
James had...
Not going to do it.
What you have of mine? Big Lebowski for 2 years? Or
yeah. It was Fight Club, and it was 10 years.
Fight Club, a definitive film of the 2000 era.
It was 10 years, and I
and
gave
you had it
a chance,
for 10 years.
And I gave it a chance, and I did not really like it that much.
It was on VHS.
Yeah.
You've been burnt.
Yep.
You've been burnt so many times.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't...
Scorned.
I can't give God a chance.
Hell hath no fury like a James Scorned.
Iron Man 3, Crystal Skull. I know, I feel for you.
And I will say this. I didn't think I was going to like Flash at all. Like, I was not going to even give Flash
a
chance because I loved the 90s Flash series.
It's
a CW show. You should really give Flash a chance.
I don't want to.
I gave Flash a chance, and I was like...
Here's where you make a deal.
Okay, I can be honest with you. I will make the deal with you, and I will not hold my end of the bargain.
I will renege on that deal.
You will
right
watch
now.
Flash, and I will come back and say, I did not watch Gotham. I got to be
Flash,
honest.
And it doesn't hold me.
All right. Well, I've seen a couple episodes. I've watched the entire series, but the episodes I've watched and gone, well, that was really fun. That was that was a comic book moment, and they just like did it on the show. Captain Cold is cool.
Who?
Captain Cold,
Who?
Flash villain.
Okay.
The Reverse Flash is awesome on the show. Dustin's probably listening to the show right now, and he's probably going...
He's watching all these shows.
He's like, man, listen to James. He actually watched some Flash. He likes The Flash and Arrow. I don't really watch Arrow, but I have watched some episodes of The Flash, and I really Gotham? Like... Is it the I don't know if he does. I'm not sure.
You wear your heart on your sleeve for these characters, and you've obviously been with them longer than the mainstream populace.
Yeah.
Now that they're all hip, and it's cool now.
Exactly.
You were there before that. So I understand, you know, I really started with the animated series... I don't have that same super strong connection you do. So, I see it from your standpoint, but Gotham's not a bad show.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear that there are some people that like Gotham.
Yes.
There's one guy.
One guy.
You're the audience.
That's fine. It's a show for me.
Well, that's okay. We only have one audience member for our show, too. Well, so.
I'm here. When there's
yeah,
so somebody
you're not going to listen to this one. This one's got no listens.
Blaze is there.
Yeah, Blaze will hear this
listening.
One. Yeah, he'll hear this one.
Do you make him not watch Gotham, too?
You know, I don't... It's up to him.
Okay.
If it's a show that's appropriate for his age group and he would want to watch it. He has watched Flash, and he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wants to check out Arrow, but at the same time, me and Bobby have to kind of look at it and go...
Yeah. Well, I would not recommend Gotham for children.
Okay.
It's pretty rough.
He's 13 now, so
yeah.
He might be okay
yeah,
to start...
Watching
something.
It's still,
if he
it's
wants
still
to watch
network
him.
Television. So
he's pretty hardcore though. I'm not sure.
See, I had Daredevil sold to me, and I'm just not interested in it. But everybody says it's a great show.
I watched the first couple, and it was good.
And I'm sure it is.
Yeah,
but the character doesn't interest. Same thing with the Flash. It's just that he's okay. I can watch him when he's in the Justice League, but I'm not gonna. I just don't.
A full show. I think the character relation is really the important thing here.
Yeah,
I mean,
and I connect with Jim. Jim Gordon.
Right.
That maybe that's it, you know? I was hooked on that part.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have it anyway, like we're talking about down the road someday. James, you're going to say, man, I'm really, really into Batman right now. What else can I delve into? There it'll
have
be.
Have some chocolate.
I probably won't.
Eat that thing.
I gotta be honest. I'll just rewatch Batman the Animated Series.
I know
he
you
definitely
won't.
Won't.
I'm very much into, if I want to check out something more about something, I usually just go, you know, I'll just rewatch the same thing where I really liked it.
I know.
I'll rewatch that again.
I know.
I had concerns.
I get stuck.
But it worked out. We can agree to disagree.
That's what we'll do.
Okay.
We'll agree to disagree on this. But you should really check out Flash.
See that, people?
All right.
That's how it's done.
You know,
that's right. You don't have to hate
people.
You
make your point and you stick to it and you don't listen to the other guy.
There you go, man. You never budge. You never budge. You never
admit
give in to the other guy's views. You just keep your own views. And everything works out great.
Stick to your own.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're always happy with what you have because...
That's right.
It's the only thing you have, and you never try new things.
Well, I just lost the actual job. Looks like you get your spot.
That's right, you're not...
You're sticking around, buddy.
I learned to keep my mouth shut.
You don't try to make me watch things I don't like.
I have tried to make you watch things you don't
like.
Yeah,
but I don't. So.
Does not budge.
Try.
Yeah.
Try.
It was. It did take a while for me to watch Big Lebowski, too.
You did, and,
I didn't like it.
Now, you didn't see Winter Soldier in the theater, right?
I didn't. I watched it on... But that was, you know... I think Bobby was pregnant at the time that was out, maybe, and that's why we didn't get a chance to see it.
A lot going on with that.
But I watched it on DVD, and I loved it. I thought it was great.
Okay, yeah, good.
Yeah. I still like the first Captain America better, but I did like it a lot.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
There's no chance I'm watching that.
You're not watching that because of the plot line.
Yeah, because of the whole con thing. I'll never watch it. I watched little snippets of it, but I never fully watched it because as I watched it, I was like, this is not something I ever want to... invest time in.
Does that give you concern for Star Trek or Star Wars?
You know, it doesn't because the writers are not the problem in Star Wars. I mean, I think that it was just J.J. directing that.
He had the story he had to direct.
Yeah.
So it wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
Okay.
And I think that and he's always said he's more of a Star Wars guy than a Star Trek guy. He's always said that. So I think he'll have more of a connection.
You down with the Fett?
I think he'll have more of a connection to...
Fett of cheese?
Pleasing older fans for Star Wars than he did with Star Trek because he wasn't a fan of Star Trek.
I think he was trying, whoever was trying to please the old fans, and it was a mistake to go that route.
Yeah, that's a big mistake. Everything I heard about it and the scenes that I've seen,
it
when
was
you try
little...
to redo Wrath of Khan and you don't redo Wrath of Khan, you never redo Wrath of Khan.
You
there's
didn't
no
need to redo
there's
it.
No reason to ever redo Wrath of Khan.
That's a Hollywood, should be a rule in general. To just not redo some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Just
but
write
they
new
do.
Stuff. Well, yeah, it's easier.
The problem is that I actually liked the Star Trek reboot. I liked the first one.
Star Trek Lens Flare was awesome.
I thought it was a good idea of bringing in new fans while still trying to appease the old fans.
Yep.
And you set up this whole new universe where you didn't have to do the same things over again. And I was excited about that, about exploring things that maybe we didn't get quite enough of in the original series, like a lesser-known thing that they could have turned into something more. But instead, they just went right to Wrath of Khan.
It seemed like maybe these two characters, Khan and Kirk, they are just inevitably going to cross paths. Even in this alternate universe, Vault has been destroyed. Somehow they are fated to run into each other. That's if I had to find an answer.
I liked that they broke that, though, with the first one. It made it so that you didn't have to do the inevitable thing. Yeah. You know, where you got to do something different. Yeah. But instead, they just did the same thing. And it was like... And the whole thing that makes that work, Wrath of Khan, is that Khan has now hated him for so long for cursing him there. That's what makes Wrath of Khan work, because he's had all that time to hate Kirk and plan for the revenge of Kirk, you know?
Yeah. Was that not the freakiest thing when you were a kid? When they put Chekhov, they put...
Oh, that was so great.
It's still rough today.
Oh, it's tough. You think about things going in your ears, it's just like the worst,
and he's
you know?
Trapped in that helmet?
It's just, and you know it's coming up, there's nothing to do. He can just feel it slowly going in there.
I saw that.
The reveal of Khan is, I've seen it so many times. When he's revealed, it still gives me chills. Like, to this day.
Yeah.
Because you know all the stuff that's led up to that reveal
of
Khan.
Based on one episode from decades before, and to make it this, like, Moby Dick tale of, like, I got to kill
Kirk. It's so good. Wrath of Khan is so good.
So he lost so many people just trying to survive, but somehow he was able to survive on this barren nothingness planet. Yeah. But then Kirk didn't know about it.
Yeah. All this time, he thought he's putting him on a planet that he can survive on.
Something happened that shifted the planet.
Yeah, it explodes, and it shifts the orbit, that it now is...
Too close to the sun now.
Yeah, it's ruined everything. There's a cool book that delves into that whole, his survival there, and there's a cool comic book series that delves into his survival
I come across some of the old comic books, where, like, Savick, she's in the comics, and they're really good. I mean...
There's some good stuff.
You don't ever hear about it like Star Trek comic books, but they're pretty cool.
The Khan series is called Ruling in Hell, and it's written by Scott Tipton, who's a friend of mine. And he actually put me in an issue. Like, I'm one of Khan's guys,
I get killed by a monster. Did you get him to sign it?
Did you sign it?
I don't know if I signed your copy or not.
I don't think you did.
But if you've got this comic, right off the bat, there's a character, when they get there... It's in a red suit, like Khan's guys, they call him Sawyer. He's like, Sawyer! And it's my face, and I get destroyed by a giant monster.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so I'm one of Khan's guys.
you're a true red shirt.
Yeah, I'm one of Khan's red guys. I'm one of his minions. Oh. And I get killed. So, I've got a connection to Khan. I really like Khan. Right. So, to what they did in Into Darkness to Khan was... Star Trek Beyond, I think is what the third was called.
Slow to do those.
But I don't know how much interest I've got now, because it really, where they went with the second one really kind of...
Yeah, you really hold on to
killed me.
Onto a grudge.
I do. Yeah, I really, Hellboy 2, I really dislike Hellboy 2.
Yeah.
And I've had a real tough time coming back to the Hellboy character, which I really liked up until Hellboy 2. It's really, if I get burned on something, I really get hurt. Like it
hurts you.
It's like breaking up with a girlfriend or something like that, where it's just like...
Crystal
I got a couple
Skull,
ties.
I was so disappointed after Crystal Skull, and I mean, yeah.
It was
those
tough.
Things, those movies, they tarnish
the
previous ones. It's really risky to do that stuff.
I've never read Dark Knight 2 fully. Dark Knight, the sequel to Dark Knight Returns.
Okay.
I flipped through a little bit of the first one, and I thought, this is going to taint Dark Knight Returns, and Dark Knight Returns is my favorite comic of all time. And so I never read it. Like, I put it back and said, I'll never look at this. I'll never finish it.
It does not exist.
It does not exist. And now they're doing a third one, and that one also does not exist. Both of those books will never exist to me.
That's
a bad idea.
And it's just like with this upcoming Star Wars movie. If you're a big fan, you should turn off every media outlet you can to this movie.
Yeah.
Because it will inevitably ruin it.
Somebody already posted the picture of Luke.
I'm glad I haven't seen it.
I had no choice. It popped up in my feed. Like, it was just there.
I know, that's the way that stuff is.
It's horrible, man. Yeah. It's just like, you have no choice, but here, you get to see it. You didn't want to see it? Too bad. You get to see it.
They can have deceptive headlines, and all of a sudden...
It's the worst, man.
Yeah, so...
We're over an hour.
We're booking.
We should wrap this one up.
All right, well, it's been very fun. Nate, thanks for coming Coming down. Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan in theaters this weekend.
Yep, it's going to be a heck of a show.
A heck of a show.
A heck of a show.
Until next time, Action Features fans, this has been James and Mike and Nate.
Buy some candy.
Buy one of James's candy bars. Candy Bar 2 in the theaters this weekend.
Available in Cincinnati.